Hi everyone, I'm Thomas Lively. This seminar is going to be writing 2D games in C using SDL. So I know you're all asking, yeah, I really want to play games and make games, but what is this SDL business? So SDL is a C library. It stands for the Simple Direct Media Layer, and it's a cross-platform game development library. It works on Windows, Mac, Linux, even iOS and Android. It handles things like access to the audio systems for the computer, the keyboard, mouse, joysticks if they're attached. On mobile, it can even do the touch input and all of that. And of course, it handles graphics, drawing things to the screen. So it's very widely used, even though you may not have heard of it before. It's built into, for example, Valve's Source Engine, which powers games such as Portal and Team Fortress 2. It's also in a very large number of indie games that come out, so I'm excited to see what you all will be making with it. The seminar goals are to get you set up to be developing with SDL. We're going to learn how to create a game window. We're going to learn how to create sprites, which are the images in your game that can move around. We're going to learn how to animate the sprites, so move them around, make them change over time. And we're going to learn how to capture keyboard and mouse input from the computer. What we won't be talking about today is 3D graphics, because that's a very complicated subject that we don't have time for. We won't learn how to play audio in our games, and we won't be building for anything but Linux. Now, the caveats there are that hopefully, by the end of the seminar, you'll be comfortable with the SDL documentation, so you'll be able to go figure out how to play audio for yourself. Also, building for Mac or PC should work exactly the same as building for Linux, but the setup's going to be a little different. So you should be able to figure out how to do these things by the end of today's seminar. So for the setup, we are going to use a virtual machine. We would use the CS50 IDE because we're just going to be writing in C, but since the IDE is in a browser, we can't create new windows or display graphics in it, so we need a virtual machine. So you can follow the instructions here at manual.cs50.net/appliance/2015 to install the official CS50 appliance, which is merely a Linux virtual machine. And then once you have that all set up, might take a little while because it's a very large download, you're going to run in the VM sudo apt-get update. And that's merely going to update all of the software packages on your virtual machine. After that, you're going to run sudo apt-get install libsdl 2.0.0, libsdl to debug, libsdl dev, and additionally, libsdl to image 2.0.0, libsdl to image debug, and libsdl image dev. So what does that do? That merely installs the debug information, documentation, headers, and binaries for two libraries, regular old SDL 2.0 and another library called SDL image, which we're going to be using to load image files into our game. So once you have that all set, just when it asks, you just type yes, hit enter to install all those packages, and then you should be good to go. So to get the distribution code, you can this is not updated. So do not, unless you have a GitHub account, if you have a GitHub account, you can do this git clone command to the repo, and that will download the Git repo with all the code in it so that you'll have the code. If you don't have a GitHub account, what you should do is type wgit https://github.com/tlively/sdl_seminar, and here's different, /archive/master.zip. So again, that's the exact same URL, except it's going to be tlively/sdl_seminar/master.zip, and you're using wget to download that. And then you can merely unzip that archive, and then you'll have all the source code. So sorry about that. And then the code will also be hosted at the CS50 Seminars webpage in a couple days. All right. So how do we get started writing our own game? Well, the first thing we're going to want to do is look at the SDL documentation. So here's the VM, and here's a web page. I've navigated to libsdl.org. What I'm going to do here is go over to the sidebar under documentation and click on the wiki. This will bring me to the wiki that has most of the documentation for SDL. Over on the sidebar here, we're going to click API by category, because this is going to give us a nice categorical view of the entire API for SDL. So for example, we have the basic initialization and shutdown, all the sort of administrative stuff for using SDL. And then we have the section for displaying things to the screen, that's video. Input events, that's getting input from the keyboard, getting input from the mouse, and a joystick if you have it even. There's force feedback for things like game controllers, which we're not going to talk about. And here's audio. And then there's a bunch of other stuff that SDL can do for you. But today we're going to focus on the initialization here, displaying images in the video section, and handling input events. So these are the main sections of documentation that you should be worrying about. Just for fun, if we go over here and click on API by name, we can see a list of every single thing in the SDL library. So all these functions, enumerations, structures, a crazy amount of stuff, all alphabetical order. And clearly, until you know what you're doing, this isn't going to be too helpful, which is why we do API by category. So let's get started. Hopefully, you've already downloaded the distribution code. And so what you can do is, right here in the CS50 appliance, simply open a terminal. Here we go. So I've already downloaded the distribution code using the .zip method. And I've unzipped it. So here it is in the SDL Seminar Master. So I'm going to go into that directory. And what we see here is that we have 7 C files. And this is going to be the code we're going to be looking at today. We have a make file. And we have a resources directory, which simply has an image that you'll be seeing soon enough. So let's open up these files using the gedit editor. So I want to open all the files that begin with hello and end with .c. Here we go. All right, that's a tiny window. So we're going to try to make that bigger. No, it went away. All right. So here's the very first file we're going to look at. It's called hello1_sdl.c. And all this does is initialize the SDL library so that we can start using it. How would you know to come up with this code yourself? Well, if we look over in the documentation and we go into the initialization and shutdown section, it's going to tell us all about how to initialize SDL. So definitely read this some other time. It's going to tell you all about what's going on here. But the main crux of the matter is that we need to call this function SDL init and pass it what kinds of things we want the library to initialize. So in our case, we're just going to initialize the video for now so that we can start displaying images. Over here, you can see the if we click on SDL init, we can get even more information, including the return value. So we see here that it returns 0 on success. So in our code, we're going to see if it doesn't return 0. And if it doesn't return 0, so it wasn't successful, then we're going to simply print an error using this other function, SDL get error, which returns a string describing the error that occurred. We're going to print that error, and then we're just going to exit the program with an error code. Then another thing that we need to do is before our program exits, if we successfully initialized SDL, we just need to call SDL quit. And that's going to handle cleaning up all of SDL's internal resources for us. So the documentation there, again, here we are in the initialization and shutdown section of the documentation. You can just click on the function here, SDL quit, and you can read all about that as well. And a lot of these function documentation pages have example code. So this is a very good resource. Definitely spend some time reading parts of this wiki if you're going to do this for a project. All right. So that's our entire program. What we can do now is I'm going to open the make file here so we can take a look at how that works. And it's a very simple make file, similar to what you've seen before. One of the main differences is that here, this is going to insert the result of running this command, which you've already installed if you've installed SDL. And this is a command that's going to generate some extra flags for the compiler. In addition to that, we're giving it all the usual commands, as well as these two commands. So the -l SDL2image handles linking in the SDL image library, and the -lm actually handles linking in the standard cmath library. So we aren't going to need those for all of our C files, but we just put them in so that we can use the same makefile for everything without modifications. Over here in sources, this is where you'd put the files that you were going to compile for your project. But since every one of my C files here has a main function, it's going to get confused if we put them all in. So I'm going to just say, for now, hello1 underscore SDL.c, which is the one we just looked at. So if I go back over here, I can do make. And what it did is it just compiled that first file. And then we can type .game, because this is the executable it produced. And all it did was print initialization successful. So we did something right. But that was kind of boring because we didn't see a window, nothing was moving around. So, great, we got SDL initialized. Now let's move on to something a little more interesting. So here we have hello2 underscore window.c, and this is going to be a slightly more complex C program that initializes SDL just like before, except now we're also going to initialize SDL timer, and this is going to let us access the internal timer and use functions relating to time. And then let's look down here. What we do is we have this pointer to an SDL window struct, which is going to be created by this call to the function SDL create window. Now this takes a lot of arguments, so let's go look at the documentation. So again, I'm going to API by category. I'm going down to video here, and the first section, display and window management. So this section has a ton of stuff in it, but if you look through these functions, you'll see that probably the one we want is called SDL create window, which happens to be right at the top. And so this is the documentation for this function. The window is going to have a title, an X and Y position on the screen. It's going to have a width, a height, and then it's going to take some flags. Now, we don't actually care about any of these flags right now, but if you wanted to do something like make a full screen window, you could take a look at that. For now, we're just going to use these special values, SDL window pos centered, for X and Y in order to just create the window in the center of our screen. So that's what that's doing. And if window happens to be null, meaning there was an error, then again, we're just going to print the error using SDL get error. And then, because we initialized SDL, we now need to close it, so we call SDL quit before returning one from main. So we have this window open, hopefully. And what we're going to do is we're going to call SDL delay for 5,000 milliseconds, which is the same as 5 seconds. And when we're done with that, it's going to destroy the window, clean up the SDL library, and exit the program. So let's go ahead and give that a shot. So now, instead of changing the makefile every time, I can simply do make, and then on the command line, say sources equals, and then the file we're compiling. So it's hello2_window.c. Fantastic, no errors. Now if we run our executable, we see this window. Now there are a few problems with the window. We can move it around, but it has this background junk inside of it. So we haven't drawn anything, and so it's just full of garbage, which is pretty much what we expect. Furthermore, we can't close the window. I'm pressing this X in the corner, and nothing's happening. So we'll see how to fix that in a little bit. So let's fix the part where the window's full of garbage first. So if we go over to hello3_image.c, what we can see is that we've added a few more things here. We've added this new header file to get the timer functions. I guess we did that in the last one too, and I didn't mention it. But now, because we're working with images, we need to include the SDL image header file as well. So it's the same thing as before, initializing SDL here. Same deal, creating a window. We've seen that before now. Now we need to create something called a renderer, which sort of goes along with the window. But it's a sort of abstract object that's in charge of doing all these drawing operations to the window. And it actually corresponds to a program loaded into the graphics hardware in your computer, or your phone, or whatever. So the flags we want to pass it, and you could look at the documentation to get more detail here, are going to be SDL renderer accelerated, which means it's going to be using the graphics hardware and not just emulated in software. And we're going to use SDL renderer present vsync. Vsync is a thing that simply makes your graphics look better and prevents this thing called screen tear, where half of one frame and half of the next frame get drawn at the same time and it looks awful. But again, you can go read about that on your own. So we have some flags here, and so we're just going to call this function SDL create renderer. We're going to give it the window to associate with that renderer. -1 means we don't care what graphics driver we're going to use. So that should pretty much always be -1, unless you know about graphics drivers. And then we're just going to pass it our flags. So if that returns null, then we're going to print the error as usual. But then we're also going to destroy the window to clean up those resources before calling SDL quit and returning. Now, the interesting part here is where we load our image using this function image load. This is the only function we're going to use from the SDL image library. It's the only one we need. It's a function that takes the string that is the path of any image resource. And it can be a .png, a GIF, a bitmap, any of these things. And that's why this function is so nice. It can handle pretty much any format. Loads it into memory and stores it as a thing called an SDL surface. Now, an SDL surface is merely a struct that represents image data in memory. So you can read more about that in the documentation too. And if this errors, then we're going to do the whole thing where we print the error, close our resources, and then quit the program. Now, the interesting thing is, before we can draw this image to the window, we need to actually make it a texture. Now, a texture corresponds to image data loaded into the graphics hardware's memory. So a surface is in main memory, regular memory that we've been using all semester, and a texture is in this separate VRAM memory that the graphics card controls. So we call this function SDL create texture from surface. We give it our renderer and our surface. And then we're actually done with the surface, so we're just going to free it. We don't need it anymore. And then, so if this call errored and returned null, then we're going to do the whole error reporting thing again. All right. Here we get into some actual rendering functions. So calling SDL render clear and passing it the renderer associated with our window simply makes the window go black. So it removes that junk that we saw in our window before and makes it black. And then we're going to call SDL render copy, give it our renderer, our texture, and we'll talk about what these fields are in a bit. But that's going to take the texture data and copy it onto our window. to draw the image. And then we have to do, so like after we've done this copy of the data onto our window, we have to do this extra function called sdlRenderPresent. And this is interesting because this gets into a topic called double buffering. So double buffering is a technique that makes your graphics look a lot better. Again, prevents that screen tearing I was talking about earlier, where you have two buffers. There's a back buffer in memory and a front buffer. The front buffer is literally what's on your screen at the moment. So we do all these draw operations, like SDL render copy or SDL render clear, to the back buffer. So they modify things in the back buffer. Here, we might be drawing this green square to the back buffer. So then, when we're done doing our render operations, which might take a really long time, what we're going to do is switch the buffers. So it literally just takes the front buffer and the back buffer and switches them so that instantaneously in one operation, instead of maybe hundreds or thousands, all of our newly rendered objects are on the screen. And this prevents things like the screen refreshing when we've only drawn half of our objects for the frame. So that's why we need to call SDL render present as well as SDL render copy. Again, we're just going to wait for 5 seconds. Then we're going to clean up our resources. We have quite a few more this time. And then we're just going to exit the program. So let's do that. I'm going to type make and then sources equals hello. This is now 3. Window. No, image. Image.c. All right, that compiled. No errors. And you can see here, I've now drawn up my image. Hello CS50 to our window, which disappears after 5 seconds. Now, this still has problems, right? This is not a good application because when I try to close the window, nothing happens. That X is still non-responsive. So let's take a look at the next file, Hello 4 animation. So this is the file that's going to introduce moving and movement to our image. So we're going to do the same thing before. Initiate SDL, create the window, create the renderer, load the image into memory, create the texture. We've seen all of that before. Now, this is new. We're going to have a structure called an SDL rect, which is just a rectangle. If we go over here, we can do a search for SDL rect. And you can see it's a very simple structure. It has an X, a Y for the position, and it has a width and a height for the size of the rectangle. So what we're going to do is we're going to define this SDL rect dest for destination. And this is the place on the screen where we're going to be drawing our image, right? So if we're going to be moving the image around, then the destination where we're going to draw the image needs to be moving around. So we're going to call this function SDL query texture. And notice I'm passing the address of dest.w, which is the width, and dest.h, which is the height. And so SDL query texture is going to store in those fields the width and the height of our texture. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to set dest.x to be window width minus dest.w, which is the width of the sprite, divided by 2. And this is going to set it up so that the image is perfectly centered in our window. All right? So now I have a Y position, and this is going to be a variable that's changing because we're going to be moving the image in the Y direction. And now we have something called an animation loop. So how does animation work? Well, human eye can detect 12 distinct images in every second. All right. So if you flash 12 image cards at me in a second, I saw each of those images as its own distinct individual image. Now, if you flash more images at me in a second, then my eye would start to blur them together, and I would perceive it as motion instead of one distinct image. So for example, movies and television, they flash images at you 24 times a second. So that's 24 frames per second. Computer screens on the other hand, often are at 60 frames per second. That's the refresh speed. That's how often they refresh the picture on the screen. So our target is going to be 60 frames per second for our games. So let's see that in the code. So for each frame, we're first going to clear the window. This is the general pattern. You always clear the window each frame and then do all of your drawing operations. And at the end, do render present to show everything in the frame. And then you're going to have a wait at the end to wait until the next frame should begin. So if I was doing a lot of complex computation here that took more than 16 milliseconds, it would be impossible for me to get that frame rate of 60 that I wanted because each frame is taking too long to compute. Furthermore, we're really doing sort of a negligible amount of work here because there's only one thing we're drawing. So I just wait 1/60 of a second, which is the length of a frame in between frames. So I'm sort of pretending doing all my work takes zero time. But in a real game, you'd have to subtract the amount of time it took to do all this work from your rest time. So anyway, what am I actually doing in this loop? I clear the window. I set the desk.y, which is an int, to my actual y position casted to an int. Now, I want float resolution for like my y position in my game. But then to actually draw it onto the screen, it needs int because it's in units of pixels. So that's what the cast is for. I'm going to draw the image. And now, so this is the source rectangle, and this is the destination rectangle. So I passed null for the source rectangle to say I want to draw my entire texture. But if you had a lot of textures in your game, and they're all in one big texture map that was loaded into SDL as just one texture, you could use a source rectangle to pick one of the smaller textures, one of the smaller sprites out of that big texture map. So again, I'm passing my renderer, my texture, and now the destination. This is going to be where in the window it's going to be drawn. And then, because I'm animating something, I need movement, I'm going to be updating the sprite position on each frame. So I have this constant called scroll speed in units of pixels per second. Now, each time we do a movement, the frame is only 1/60th of a second. So I'm going to divide that by 60. And then, let's see, I'm subtracting that from y position. Why am I subtracting? We'll get to that in a second. So then I clean up my resources and the program's over. So let's make that. So it's going to make sources equals hello 4. Animation.c, all right, game. Oh, there we go. So I have it scrolling up the window, which is pretty neat. But hold on, I was subtracting from the y position every time. What's going on there? Well, it turns out that in SDL, and in fact in most computer graphics, the origin for the coordinate system is the top left of the window. So the positive x direction goes across your window to the right, and the positive y direction actually goes down. So again, the origin's in the top left of your window, positive y direction is down, and positive x is to the right. So when I subtract from the y position, that's going to make it go in the negative y direction, which is up the window. So that's what's going on there. Cool. Let's look at the next file. Here is the part of the show where we finally get that X in the corner of the window that's supposed to close the window to work. So what's going on? We initialize SDL, create the window, create the renderer, load the image, create the texture like we've seen before. We have the same destination rectangle as before. Same called a query texture. But this time, we're then going to divide the width and the height of our destination by 4. This only has the effect of scaling our image down when we display it in the window by 4. So that's pretty neat. We can just scale just like that. We're going to start the sprite in the center of the screen. And now we have x and y velocity, and they're both going to start at 0. So this is the wrong This is the wrong file. I'm sorry. So that's all true. That's all still in this file. We have the divide by 4 and everything. So here we have our x and y position for the center of the window. And we give it an initial velocity of this constant speed, which I believe is 300 pixels per second. Now we have this int, could just as well be a Boolean, called close requested. And instead of doing an infinite loop on a timer here, we're going to be animating as long as close is not requested. So how do we process events? Well, SDL queues up events in a literal queue behind the scenes. And then each frame, we can dequeue events from that queue using this call SDL pull event. And again, definitely go read about this in the documentation. There's a lot more detail and a lot more functions you can use with this. We pass it the address of this thing, SDL event, that we have here on the stack. Now, what is an SDL event? Because SDL, if we look in the documentation, it's the API by category, input events, event handling. We can look at the number of different events here, and we can see there's a whole ton of them. So what is this SDL event thing? SDL event is a union. Wow, what's a union? You've probably never heard of that before. And that's OK. A union is kind of like a struct, except a struct has a space for all of its fields in memory, whereas a union only has enough space to fit the largest one of its fields, which means it can only store one of its fields at a time, which kind of makes sense for events, right? We can have a keyboard event or a window event, but a single event cannot be both a keyboard event and a window event. So it'd be silly to have space for both of those inside our event union. So if you wanted to create your own union, it looks exactly the same as creating a struct, except that we use the union keyword instead of the struct keyword. And remember, for all the things inside your union, the actual variable that is the union can only have one of those values at a time. So how can we tell what kind of event we just popped off of this queue? Well, we can test for event.type. And if that is equal to SDL quit, we know it's the event that was generated when we hit that X in the corner of the window. And we can set close requested equals 1. The rest is just some animation that you've seen before. So let's go ahead and make this and see how well it works. So I'm going to type make, then sources equals hello 5 underscore events dot C. There we go, game. Now we can see it was indeed scaled down by 4, and now it's bouncing around. I have some collision detection going on with the sides of the window that we can take a look at. And what happens when I go to close it? Ah, it closes. Fantastic. We received that event, and we handled it. So let's look back at the code. So how did I get it bouncing around like that? Remember, I set both x and y initially to this speed. So that's going to get it, and speed is a positive constant, so that's going to get it starting out going down and to the right. Now, each frame, in addition to handling any events that may have occurred, I'm going to detect whether my sprite is trying to go out of the window. So we can do that by just checking x pause with 0. Y pause is 0, and then also X pause and Y pause with window width and window height. Notice I've subtracted the width of the sprite, and this is because if I didn't subtract the width of the sprite, it would only check that the origin of the sprite did not go outside the window. But we want the entire width of the sprite to always be inside the window, and the entire height of the sprite to always be inside the window. So that's what the subtraction is for. A lot of geometry here. Can be helpful to like draw it out on paper with the coordinate system to see what is going on. So if I do collide, I just simply reset the position so that it is not going out of the screen. And I'm going to, if it bounces on one of the sidewalls, I'm going to negate the x velocity so that it starts bouncing in the other direction. And similarly, if it hits the top or the bottom, I'm going to set the y velocity equal to the negative y velocity so that it'll bounce back. So that's just how we got that here. And the updating positions, just like we've seen before, divide by 60 because we're only handling 1/60th of a second. And then rendering, exactly the same as before. And so that's everything that was going on in this file. So that's how we do events. The main thing to take away here is this SDL pull event function. And you should definitely read the documentation more about SDL event, the union, because this data type is very, very important because we use it for all sorts of events. For example, we use it for keyboard events, which is what this file is for. So what do we have the same thing as before, initialize SDL, create a window, create a renderer, load the image into memory, create the texture. Again, we're going to have this dest rectangle that we're going to scale the image by 4, make it a bit smaller. Now we're going to start the sprite in the center of the screen. But this time, we're going to set the initial x and y velocities to 0 because the keyboard is going to control those. And furthermore, we're going to keep track of these variables up, down, left, and right. And that's going to keep track of whether we've pressed the keyboard buttons that correspond to up, down, left, and right. Now, this is kind of fancy because we can use WASD here or the actual arrow keys. And we'll see that in just a second. So we're going to process the events just like before. We pull the event. But now we're going to switch on the event type. If it's SDL quit, we're going to set close requested to 1, just like before. That handles the X in the corner of the window so that our window actually closes. Otherwise, if we get an SDL key down event, which means we pressed a key, then what we're going to do is we're going to switch on this thing here, which means, so event.key means treat our event union, go and get the key event structure in it. So it turns out that this union is a key event structure. And then go to that the key event structure, its field called keySim, and then scan code. And again, definitely read the documentation about this. Keyboard input's quite interesting. You can get scan codes or key codes, and it's a little subtle, but the documentation is quite good. So if we see the scan code for our key press being W or up, we're going to set up equal to 1, and then we break out of that switch. If it's A or left, we set left to 1, et cetera, for down and right. Now, out in this outer switch, if we see a key up event, that means we've released a key, and we're no longer pressing it. So we're going to say up equals 0, left equals 0, down equals 0, right equals 0, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And notice we have, in each of these, two cases put right next to each other with no separate code for the first case, which means that whether it's an S or a down right here, it's going to execute this code. So that's pretty handy. It prevents us having to do like more conditions and ifs and things like that. So we're going to determine the velocity. We set the velocity 0. Then if up is pressed and not down, then we set the y velocity to negative speed. Remember negative because the negative y direction is up and the positive y direction is down. If down is pressed and not up, then we're going to set it to speed, positive speed, which means going down the screen. Same thing with left and right. And then we're going to update the positions just like before. We're going to do collision detection with bounds, but we're not going to reset the velocity because the velocity is just controlled by the keyboard. But we are going to reset the positions to keep it in the window. And we're going to set the positions in the struct and then do all the rendering stuff from before. So let's see what it does. So make sources. Let's see. This is Hello 6 keyboard. Hello 6 keyboard.c. Oh, no. So we got some warnings here. And that's simply saying we didn't check for every single possible kind of event. You know what? That's OK, because there's like 236 of them or so. So I'm going to ignore those warnings. It's still compiled fine. So I'm going to play the game. It's not moving. But now, oh, when I mash on my keyboard, I can do some WASD movement here. I can use my arrow keys as well. And notice, even though I'm pressing right now, it's not going out of the window because I reset it on every frame. All right, so that's pretty neat. You can imagine like moving around Mario with some arrow keys or something like that. And yes, the X does work. So final file we're going to look at, Hello 7 Mouse. This is about getting mouse input. So in this one, we import the math header because we're going to have a little bit of math here. Same old stuff. Destination, same old. Seen that before. Well, this is interesting. So we're back to only checking for the SDL quit event. Why is that? So you can get mouse input from events. Like when the mouse moved, you can get an event for that. When a mouse button is pressed, you can get an event for that. But there's another slightly simpler, perhaps, API for getting mouse input, and that's simply SDL get mouse state. So I have an int for x and y for the cursor position. I pass it SDL get mouse state, which sets these. And this is position in the coordinate system of the window. So if the mouse is in the top left of the window, that would be 0, 0. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a little bit of like vector math. Bet you thought you wouldn't see that in CS50, but here it is. Going to do some vector math to get the vector from the image to the cursor. And so why do I have this subtraction here? Well, if I just used dest dot, or if I, so I need to translate the mouse x and y by half the width and height of the image, because I want the center of the image to be going towards the mouse, not the origin of the image. So that's pretty simple. That's just to make sure I'm talking about the center of the image here. Then we get the delta x and y, which is the difference from the target to the actual position of the image. And then we can get the distance here, which is going to be Pythagorean theorem, square root of x times x plus y times y. Now, to prevent jitter, and I can show you what this does if I don't do this, if distance between the mouse and or the cursor and the image center is less than 5, I'm just not going to move the image. Otherwise, we set the velocity. And we set it so that the velocity will always be constant. And the net result of all this math is that the image is going to move towards the cursor. Now, turns out that SDL get mouse state, in addition to setting mouse x, in addition to setting the x and y arguments here, it also returns an int that corresponds to the state of the mouse buttons. So we can't read that directly, but we can use these macros, a single bitwise operator, not that scary, just a bitwise and. So we say buttons, which is the result of our SDL get mouse state. If that and bitwise and this macro here, SDL button left. So this is going to simply resolve to the bitmap that corresponds to the left mouse button being pressed. And so if the bitwise AND occurs and it's not 0, which means left button was pressed, then we're actually going to negate both the x and the y velocities, which will just make the image run away. Update positions, collision detection, seen it all before, rendering. All right, let's make it. So you got make sources equals hello 7. Mouse.c, great, no errors, and game. So here I have my mouse, and the image is indeed chasing my mouse. Now in a game you make, maybe this is like an enemy chasing your little character or whatever. But here we have the image chasing the mouse. And when I click, the mouse starts chasing the image, and the image is running away from the mouse. So that's pretty cool. And notice again, there's still collision detection here. So that is the final little demo I have set up here. And let's take a look at one more thing. So back here, I mentioned this jitter, right? So if distance is less than 5 pixels, I was setting x and y velocity to 0. What happens if we get rid of that? So I just do this. Please excuse this horrendous style, but we commented out the correct code. So I'm going to save that and do the same command from before to make it. All right, and now what happens? Good, we're still following the mouse just like before, but when we get to the mouse, we've got this gross jitter. What's going on there? Well, in our vector math, remember we were taking the distance between the cursor and the center of the image? Well, as that approaches 0, we start getting like this sort of crazy behavior where the image is sort of like oscillating around the cursor, and that's creating this jitter. And that's really ugly, and you probably don't want your games doing that unless it's some sort of special effect. So that's why we have just this arbitrary cutoff of 5 pixels, where we say if it's within 5 pixels, we're good. We don't need to move the image anymore. So that's what's going on there. So that's pretty much it. You now know how to create a window, load an image, draw an image to the window, get keyboard input, get mouse input. There's a bunch of other input that you wouldn't know how to get if you just spent a few minutes looking at documentation. So you actually have quite a few tools at your disposal now to write a full-fledged game. Now, every game needs some audio, but the audio documentation is also pretty good. And I'm willing to bet that if you understand all of the things we talked about today with the images and surfaces, the windows, and everything, then figuring out the audio API is not going to be that bad. So I look forward to seeing what you create with SDL.